It's a busy time for you.
It is. That is true.
To say the least. Last night, you were involved in the Republican debate for the House of Representatives. How do you feel that went?
That was the extent of the hard-hitting questions asked of Crickets Cheney by Sheridan Media's Floyd Whiting. I don't even know what to say about all of that. Oh, wait. Yeah, I do. Here we go. Would you like to know why Crickets Cheney will not come on this program? It's because I'm not going to ask her dopey questions like that. They had the perfect opportunity to ask her any difficult question in the book, and what do they do?
Well, how did you feel about the debate last night?
The truth is, they had no intention of asking her anything more difficult than if she prefers the black Dixon Ticonderoga pencil to the yellow one. Or maybe she prefers a different brand altogether.
Now tell me, Crickets, when you're taking notes of testimony that is fifth and sixth hand hearsay, do you prefer the yellow pencil or the black one?
Barf. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to another stupendous episode from high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. This portion of the program is brought to you by 307 Cowboy Country. If you're in the market for a backyard shed or a greenhouse or a double-wide garage, then you need to call my friends Bryce, Ellen, Melody Reese at 307-441-1815. They are Central and Southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. Montana Shed Center, buildings for life. We begin this morning in the cow pie. My grandmother used to say, "Don't sweat that. It's the smell of money," and that might actually be true in this case. In a bullcrap article entitled "Legislative Committee Skeptical About Banning Dark Money from Wyoming Campaigns," Leo Wolfson writes, quote,
"One of the most prominent Wyoming examples of the use of dark money can be seen in the U.S. House race between Representative Liz Cheney and Harriet Hageman, with millions of dollars of out-of-state super PAC money pouring in to support both sides. Recently, a $50,000 contribution from an organization known as Snow Goose LLC caught the attention of nonpartisan election watchdog group the Campaign Legal Center. The CLC filed a complaint with the FEC, alleging that Snow Goose is a shell company created solely to contribute to super PAC supporting Hageman's campaign."
God, I wish they'd try some journalism every once in a while. Now, what Leo the leftist writes is technically true, that allegation did come up this past week. It is completely disingenuous. The most prominent use of dark money in this U.S. House race is not Harriet Hageman. It's their BFF, Crickets Cheney. Back in April, I aired an episode entitled "Liz's Long List of Left-Wing Support," where I detailed for you all of her connections to every dark left-leaning organization seemingly on the planet. And you would think that even the cowpie would pay attention to the most listened-to political podcast in the state of Wyoming. Here's a piece of it for our good buddy Leo. Our story begins with an episode we did back on March 19th. Entitled "Wyoming Promise or Is It?" Now, in that episode, I told you about a group called Wyoming Promise that claims that they're totally grassroots and they're totally funded by Wyoming citizens, and all they want to do is get a handle on all of this dark money that's being spent in political campaigns. Here's the head of Wyoming Promise, Ken Chestak, telling us exactly what this group is about. Now, I found this piece of audio after I did the episode about Wyoming Promise. This is from 4 years ago, where he did an interview with Wyoming Public Radio.
Wyoming Promise is a grassroots organization of Wyoming citizens who have seen that we have serious problems with money in politics, that we need to solve that problem first. So we are working to get a measure on the Wyoming ballot that would basically say we call for a constitutional amendment to allow for meaningful campaign finance reform.
Now, doesn't that just sound great? I mean, who doesn't want to get a handle on all this campaign finance stuff? Well, Ken Chestak doesn't, and they're totally grassroots. In the interview, they're all wearing these little buttons with the Wyoming Promise logo on it. It's a W with some red and blue lines, and actually, it looks exactly the same as the American Promise logo, only that's an A and not a W. Totally original and completely grassroots. Now, here's what I told you back in that March 19th episode about these guys. You remember how their website says that they're a grassroots organization and that they're totally Wyoming-based? And they're completely nonpartisan. Don't forget that part. Oh, yeah, but there was that little bit about them being linked to a national group called American Promise. And here, in their own words, is who the sponsors of American Promise are. I took this next little soundbite off of a video that they put out. Here it is.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, the Brennan Center for Social Justice, Public Citizen, and People for the American Way.
Huh. People for the American Way. Now there's another flowery sounding group. So just so we're tracking here, Wyoming Promise is linked to other progressive groups in the state of Wyoming that are funded through a very small number of people who have ties to larger progressive groups, and namely George Soros. But they're also linked to a national group called American Promise, who is funded by People for the American Way. According to Influence Watch, which is that great website that I tell you about all the time where you can track the money sources from all of these different groups, they characterize People for the American Way as the following, quote, People for the American Way is a left-of-center advocacy group formed in 1981 by liberal Hollywood television producer Norman Lear to oppose the conservative principles espoused by Christian conservative televangelists. People for the American Way monitors what it characterizes as, air quotes here, right-wing activities, advocates for left-of-center policy agendas, and helps to elect liberal political candidates. People for the American Way's policies include left-of-center positions on a wide range of issues, including public funding of abortion providers, a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants, tax and spend big government budgeting, and a general opposition to President Donald Trump's policies and appointments. And guess who's on the advisory board for American Promise? Former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson. Oh, just love him. And he's really concerned about dark money, even though he sits on the board of a group that's funded by dark money. But, you know, pay no attention to that. Here's what he had to say about all of this political fundraising.
Has the Citizens United versus FEC ruling already impacted political campaigns in Wyoming, local, county, state, federal, and community?
Oh, yes, I believe they have. And they pick some very glorious-sounding names. Have the Constitution or Liberty or Justice or Freedom or America or whatever, or Equality, whatever. And they're not bad people. They're not. But they're getting injections of money that you and I don't know where it comes from. It's there, and it's real. And they use good names, and they go to the hearings, and they hire good people. They hire people who are smooth and sharp and hang around the legislature and take you to dinner, and nothing new about that, but you don't know what phantom background they have and who is the money behind them, because it certainly isn't the guy giving $5 from Gillette.
Wow, sounds pretty serious. What a hypocrite. One question, Al. If it's so serious, then why do you sit on the board for American Promise, who is funded by People for the American Way, who is funded by the Tides Foundation, and of course, spooky dude himself, George Soros? I swear, all roads lead back to that guy. Now, everything you're hearing this morning, you can verify it at influencewatch.org or at opensecrets.org. I've put a link to both of them at cowboystatepolitics.com so you can do your own research. Don't take my word for any of this stuff. Learn it for yourself so that you can make your own argument. Yep, Leo should have taken that advice. The thing is, I kind of like the guy. He did what I would consider a pretty fair interview with me. But the problem is, when it comes to Liz Cheney, he can't set his partisanship aside and do some actual journalism. You know, look up things called facts. The thing is, the leftist media in Wyoming will do everything in their power to try to give Liz Cheney a chance at getting reelected, up to and including completely misrepresenting the actual truth. Why don't you try journalism for a change, Leo? You might like it. All right, enough of this garbage. Moving on. This morning, I have a great discussion for you with House District 24 candidate Nina Weber. But before we do that, a completely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or a giant warehouse, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. So it doesn't matter what type of metal structure you've got in mind, give Nick and Jesse a call, and they'll handle all the details. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Right now is the highest we've ever seen gun markets, and the best performers are the vintage collectible firearms. Winchesters, Colts, and rare military weapons. Over in Cody, Gunrunner Auctions is one of the leading online auction houses in the country, and they're celebrating their 23rd year. Gunrunner Auctions is unique in that their specialty is estate firearms. They get calls all week long about lifelong gun collections coming to auction. Scott Weber, the owner, has been into firearms for almost 60 years. Now, he travels to the estate and first appraises the guns for the heirs and then takes them to his Cody auction facility where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum to learn more about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his crew post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of them start at $20 with no reserve. Gunrunner Auctions charges only 15% for selling your firearms. They've sold the personal collections of Elvis Presley, Steve McQueen, Alex McCord, and Herb Parsons, just to name a few. With their 40,000 bidders in all 50 states, they'll realize the highest prices for your precious firearms. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. Coming to Wyoming on July 22nd is the Save America Rally. It's being held in Lander, Wyoming. You'll be able to meet just about every conservative in the state, including Representative Mark Jennings, Harriet Hageman, Kathy Russell, Chuck Gray, and of course, me, along with a huge list of just about every other conservative. So that's July 22nd in Lander, Wyoming. Put it on your calendar. You don't want to miss this event. And now, back to the program. Like I was saying, about a week and a half ago, I was over in Cody, and I had the chance to sit down with Nina Weber, who is running for House District 24 in Park County. We had a wide-ranging discussion. Here it is.
I'm joined today by Nina Weber. Nina's running for House District 24 out of Park County. This is a beautiful home you have here, Nina.
Oh, thank you.
You're running for the House of Representatives. Why?
Yes. I am running for House District 24 because the people in Park County deserve better representation. We have a rep currently who is out of touch and out of reach with most of our county, and unfortunately our county and the rest of Wyoming get to suffer through her bad votes.
Fair enough. So let's talk about a couple of those bad votes. Now, you and I spent quite a bit of time in Cheyenne just observing the legislature, and several of these... Actually, we were sitting right beside each other when they happened. So the first one I'd like to ask you about is the bill to ban critical race theory in Wyoming. My first question would be, why is that important? Why do we have to do that?
Critical race theory is not appropriate for Wyoming. Kids aren't racist. They don't grow up that way, only if they're taught that. Our most vulnerable population loves everybody.
The vote on that one was 35 to 24. And of course, during the budget session, any bill that is not budget related has to get a two-thirds vote before it can be introduced on the floor. And the vote on that one was 35 to 24. And I was really disappointed in just watching the representatives that voted against that. And I couldn't agree with you more that, well, first of all, we shouldn't be teaching things that just aren't true.
Correct.
And the vast majority of critical race theory only has a nugget of truth in it. And my own representative, you know, he did vote for this particular bill, but yours did not. So how do you think that resonates with Park County voters?
I think many of the moms and parents, grandparents, foster parents, I think they'd be pretty mad knowing that the current rep voted against banning CRT in our schools. Many of the people right now are going to school board meetings. They're having coffee house or coffee table meetings, and they're talking about how can we get this out of here. We don't want it. We don't like it. I think they'd be very, very upset and disappointed in knowing that the current rep voted against banning this type of nonsense.
And it wasn't that long ago. I was at a meeting here in Park County, and it was the superintendent of schools speaking about critical race theory and about the teaching of SEL in the classroom, and he was very much against it. And it struck me as odd that a topic that is so divisive in your county, and people are speaking out very vocally about it, that your representative voted against banning it. So let's move to another one. You and I were at the Trump rally, and nothing got more applause than when a speaker was talking about the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. And of course, that's the one that would have kept little boys from playing in little girls' sports. It was Senate File 51. So could you just tell me your thoughts on Senate File 51?
You know, you're right. At the Trump rally, that was mega applause for Senate File 51 and keeping boys out of girls' sports. You know, it's just not fair. Biologically, boys and men are stronger and faster and bigger than women. And it's just not fair. I mean, how many years ago has it been, what, early 70s, that we had a big fight getting our own women's sports, girls' sports, and we're just going to turn that back and away? What's going to happen next?
That was a big deal in Wyoming. And you know, a lot of people probably don't remember how big of a fight that was to get an equal number of women's sports to men's sports in our school system. You're spot on by saying, you know, we fought so hard to get, you know, equality in sporting events in high school. And here we are saying that, yeah, well, you know, it should be okay that boys play in girls' sports. I mean, I find it offensive. The vote on that one was 21 to 37. Your opponent is probably going to say that, well, you know, I just voted against introducing the bill.
Oh, and we all know that that's not exactly true. I mean, we know that that's not true. The opponent has some very liberal way of thinking, and it doesn't go with what most of Cody thinks and what most of Wyoming thinks and feels. We should have separate sports for boys and for girls. If we co-mingle them, it's called co-ed sports. Otherwise, if you're a boy, you play in boys' sports, and if you're a girl, you play in girls' sports.
Well, I think that this speaks to a larger discussion of, you know, we just watched the USDA come out yet again and threaten states with their school lunch money if they didn't have this gender, I don't even know what you call it because I find the whole thing just absurd. But anyway, the USDA is saying that if you don't allow all genders to use the same bathrooms and post that on your website, then they're going to take away your school lunch funding.
That's right, David. I think I'm very proud of our current superintendent of public instruction for standing up and going against that and saying, hey, Wyoming, we have enough money in our education system that we could fund that.
So let's talk about another one. And I think this is a big one for me because I did a ton of research on whether or not Representative Dan Zwanitzer had moved out of his district. The evidence was incontrovertible. So the vote in the House was, well, why don't you just tell me? You were there. Why don't you just tell me your thoughts on it?
Okay, so I live in Cody, and to drive down to Cheyenne, it took, at that point, it probably took about 6.5 hours to get there. When the House of Representatives started the discussion, it literally lasted about 15 minutes. And David, I know you and I were sitting next to each other, and I was anticipating what everybody in Park County wanted and what I had heard throughout the state of Wyoming wanted. We wanted to hear what the evidence was, what the proof was. We wanted to hear the debate of what everything was going on, because many were saying, oh gosh, he lives there, and many others were saying, oh no, he doesn't live there. I don't know. I had seen things on coming out through emails and conversations in conservative groups that were talking about, well, he does live there, he doesn't live there. No, he doesn't live there. He lives on the other side, of outside of his district. And literally, when it came up, again, it took less than 15 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes, that it was voted down on the House side to not even investigate or have a debate of what really was going on. All of the legislators had evidence, I guess. I don't know. I didn't see that. And where I was at, I was like, well, where's the evidence? I want to hear what you're talking about. You must know something that I don't as a legislator, and I want to hear what the evidence was.
Well, just a quick refresh everybody's memory. So Dan Zwanitzer, Representative Dan Zwanitzer, represents House District 43. And he bought a house in House District 10, and we had a mountain of evidence that he didn't live in House District 43. And according to Wyoming statute, if you move outside of your district, it creates an immediate vacancy. You don't even have to resign. It happens immediately. So the question was whether or not Dan Zwanitzer was even a representative at that time, because he was the co-chairman of the Corporations Committee. There was an entire session worth of votes that he was making from House District 10. So this was a big deal.
It's a big deal.
And the question was whether or not Dan Zwanitzer had followed the law.
Right.
36 of those people said that we don't even want to investigate it. And my own representative voted to not investigate whether or not. And he's a county attorney, or he's the deputy county attorney. It's his job to prosecute crime. Now, your representative voted the exact same way.
Yeah, she did. And I think there was some flippant remark about, oh, well, I talked to him and he told me what I needed to hear. I don't know what was said. I don't know what the proof was, but I feel that if I am the elected representative, then it's my job to tell the people in Park County, in House District 24, and throughout the state of Wyoming, hey, here's why I voted this way.
Now, there was also allegations of voter fraud, you know, because he was registered to vote in House 43, and he voted for that tax election that they had in Laramie County, and didn't change his voter registration when he knew that he didn't live in House 43. And that's just another part of it. I mean, that's a criminal matter. It's something that the House of Representatives wouldn't have jurisdiction on. But again, they voted to not even look at it. And they let him vote.
Yes, they did. And wow, those words, voter integrity and election security, election integrity, is running rampant throughout our state right now. People really have a lot of questions about, does my vote count? Why would I vote? Would I continue to vote? And the answer should be yes. We want to know the answers to this. And this caused a lot of doubt throughout our communities and county.
You mentioned election integrity. And just this week, Cowboy State Politics broke the news that Liz Cheney is soliciting votes from Democrats.
Can using you believe it?
I know. It's amazing. That picture that I was sent, first of all, I totally believe it coming from Crickets Cheney. But, I mean, it was amazing to me that she openly is engaging in a campaign to encourage crossover voting. Now, one of the bills that would have helped with that situation, if not eliminated it completely, was House Joint Resolution 3. and that was the runoff election bill. Your current representative also voted against that one. Could you just talk to us a little bit about why that bill is important and your thoughts on it?
You know, runoff election and crossover voting, you bring up two subjects. Okay, crossover voting is when this is a Republican primary coming up August 16th. The Republican primary is for Republican candidates because we're wanting to have the best people that promote our values, that will defend our Republican values as a Republican. So crossover voting comes into effect when, if you're not a Republican in a Republican primary, then you do not have the ability to vote for Republicans. It could affect your county or your statewide races. So if you're not Republican, what the Congresswoman is doing is sending out these flyers saying, hey, if you want to vote for me, here's how you change from whatever party you are, Democrat, to vote in a Republican primary and how to do that. That's crazy. Why would you want to do that? I mean, if you're not wanting Republican values, then you already have a party that you can vote for.
Well, the only thing better than having one party, Nina, is owning two.
Okay, good point. So the crossover voting is very important in that we would like to stop that. A fair way of doing that, which some of these bills addressed and House J3 addressed, was as far as crossover voting or any voting for absentee ballots, is that you could change your party affiliation long before the candidates ever even file. But the runoff election bill, the HJ3, runoff election would allow for, if there was four candidates, they're all Republican, and the top two vote getters would have a chance, well, all four would come into a runoff election, and then whoever got the most votes would be the ones that would go forward.
Yeah, and I think the big point here is that historically in Wyoming elections, people get elected with far less than 50% of the vote. You know, our own governor, I think he got like 34% of the vote or 39%. I always get those numbers mixed up, but it wasn't anywhere close to 50% of the vote. Good example that sticks out of my mind is Senator Ogden Driscoll. He's never gotten 50% of the vote.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, candidates run for election knowing that the vote can be split. And, you know, the runoff election bill, it would have solved that. But yet again, the more liberal wing, the Redcoats in Cheyenne, of course, they're not going to vote. Nice shirt, by the way. Nina's wearing one of the I Smell Redcoats in Cheyenne t-shirts.
It's very comfortable.
Very appropriate, too. You know, they're not going to vote against their own interests, even though that would be the best thing for the state of Wyoming. And so the last thing I'd like to ask you about, it was a major point of controversy in this last legislative session, and that was the bill to tax Wyoming citizens for every mile that they drove their car. I'll just let you go on that one.
Okay, so that was the road usage tax, and that was crafted and developed in a big part by the current rep in House District 24, and that was just insane. When you talk about one every mile that you drive that you would be taxed on, wow, I know where I live. I drive about 20 miles one way every day. And I also come back and maybe I make two trips and I might go out of state and I might go on public lands. I might go on private lands. I might go anywhere, but it really is none of the government's business of where I go and who I'm with. So the other part of that bill had to do with a tracking device, right, that would track it. And as far as I know, the only people that should ever have a tracking device in our country would be people who are felonies or criminals.
Yeah, right. They've got the little bracelet.
They got an ankle bracelet. Yeah. Why is that an appropriate bill for most of Wyoming? It isn't. We are not criminals. We don't deserve to be judged that way. And it's really none of government's business where we go or how we get there and how many miles we drive to do that.
Well, and it's, I think it speaks to a larger issue. And that is that, and you and I, again, you and I witnessed this firsthand, and a lot of Wyoming citizens really don't get this feeling because they have to work And Cheyenne is a very long ways away from where they live.
Oh, you're talking about the Sessions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, what amazed me is the Redcoats in Cheyenne, they would defeat a conservative bill like HJ3 or
Fairness in Women's Sports.
Yeah, or the ban on critical race theory. And they'd all slap each other on the back and high-five each other, and it was absolutely amazing.
I know you and I were sitting in the galley at this at that point, and I was amazed at the lack of respect for all of Wyoming. When we have legislators down there voting down CRT, voting down Fairness in Women's Sports, and literally when the vote passed on the House side, many of the legislators were high-fiving, slapping each other on the back. It was very disappointing.
One of the more disappointing episodes was when the special session opened. And I think you were there for that one as well. You know, on the opening day of the session, the Capitol building was full. I mean, it was filled to capacity. They even had a state trooper outside with the little clickers, making sure that the building didn't go over capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not at that.
Oh, you weren't?
I was not there.
Okay, so. Well, you missed a heck of a show, because that our Capitol building was full, and watching the legislators on the floor, I mean, they were very aware that they were being watched, and that first day, man, they all minded their manners. Well, the next day, I believe the session opened on a Tuesday. So on Wednesday, well, everybody had to go back to work.
Because on Tuesday, they probably did what we saw down at the last session, which was the budget session, which was when there was a lot of people in there. They did a lot of time wasting.
Yeah.
I mean, we had all kinds of people. There were people doing speeches and presentations, and we had music. And I was like, wow. If this was the day I could come, this was the only day I could come, I would have witnessed nothing getting done for the people. Yep. in the state of Wyoming.
Yeah. Now, the second day, there was maybe a third of the people there that attended the opening day, and it was business as usual. I mean, they went back to making all of their liberal votes. You know, it was really disappointing. So, Nina, if you could just sum up everything that we've talked about this morning for Park County voters, what would it be?
David, so to sum this up, we just talked about the Fairness in Women's Sports bill, critical race theory, the Zwanitzer, if he lives in the district or not, and if his votes were illegal in the session that he voted in. And we talked about the road usage tax. And we kind of briefly mentioned some of the budget votes. And it's important for everybody in Park County to do their research and understand the direction of the current legislature, and especially the current representation in our area, and what direction that is taking us. It looks to me like we're going down a road that we don't want to go down. What I'm hearing from people in Park County and throughout the state of Wyoming is that people really want to get back to Wyoming values, which, not surprisingly, go hand in hand with the Republican platform values. And if we want to continue down this road that we're already going, if we want to continue down this road, then vote the same way. But if you want to change and you want to get back to keeping Wyoming strong and families first and Wyoming first and talking about God and country and family, then make a different choice.
So if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Oh, that's pretty easy. You can get a hold of me from ninaweber.com, or you can also call me. My cell phone number is 307-296-7188.
Well, Nina, thank you for taking the time to visit with me, and thank you for inviting me to your beautiful home, and good luck in the election.
Well, thanks, David. You're welcome here anytime.
Well, that'll do it for this installment of Cowboy State Politics. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.